Is it time to make a permanent quarterback change?
In the world full of podcasts, he's the undisputed heavyweight champion of hot takes, an Auburn sports homer, master of the boog, and message board legend. Get your buttons buttoned and your hats flattened, because the Top Button Podcast is about to kick off, and you don't want to miss your courtside seat. Now, here's your host, Charlie Five.
Yes, sir. We're back. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. I'm your host, Kyle Rush, a.k.a. Charlie Five, and we are ready to get after it. Happy Monday. The bye week is over, and we are ready to take down this home stretch. You got three games left, two home games, obviously the Iron Bowl at the end, and see how see what Hugh and this Auburn team can do to close out the year. And I think there's a big topic that it's time to really have some serious discussions, and that's what we do at quarterback moving forward. We're going to talk about some stuff that's gone down this past week, and then look at the different pros and cons of going ahead and making a switch now, and you know, the good, the bad, and the ugly. We'll talk about that and dive all in. But before we get started, we got to give a shout out to mybookie.ag. Use coupon code next round for a double up deposit bonus. Whatever you give them, up to $1,000, they're gonna match it they're gonna double it up basically. So you give them $200, they're gonna give another $200 back on top of it to play with. The sports book is huge. Any type of sport you can imagine, any type of line you can imagine, and any type of way you can bet, you can imagine, they got it. First half, second half, parlays, teasers, whatever, they got it. A lot of fun. Check them out. Show them some love. Mybookie.ag. I got my account set up ready for college basketball, so it's going to be a lot of fun. All right. I've been hesitant to talk about quarterbacks. Number one is just because I've always been anti the answer is the guy on the bench. Because typically I think coaches want to win. I think that's kind of a goal of theirs, is to keep their job, and they see these guys in practice every single day. And I think it's fine for discussion, but I've just never really been the backup is the answer type guy. I'm still not 100% sure that the backup is the answer at this point in time. I just think there's a discussion on what's the best for the future moving forward. Quick recap: this past week, Auburn practiced, three or four times, had meetings all week and during the bye week. And from what I understand from talking with sources, I'm not sure that Peyton participated in any first team reps this past week. I think most of it was injury related. I think he hurt his shoulder pretty badly if I'm not mistaken, it was the drive where we had the ball on our own one, and they ran sort of like a QB read / power to kind of punch it out, get some yardage because they were, again, on your own one. I think that's where he had a little bit of a shoulder, got his shoulder dinged up. I remember the deep throw to Cam Coleman was really weak. And I think it just after that, he couldn't really, he struggled mightily with any zip, and he's struggled at times during the season without having a lot of, real zip on the throws, especially some of those long out routes and digs and things like that. So this whole week, he's not taken any snaps at first team quarterback. And, they'll practice today, and Hugh will meet with the media, and I'm very curious to see what Hugh has to say. I know he's going to be asked about it, and I know that that's going to be one of the, big topics. Is there any discussion to making a quarterback switch? Is there any discussion in moving in a different direction? I think at this point in time, there's probably a high likelihood that that could happen. I think the best thing to do is just kind of talk about, okay, well, if that does happen, what does that mean? What are the pros of making that happen? What are the cons? And just talk through it. What does that mean for this team? What does this mean for the future? All that good stuff. I want to start, though. I'm not a big negative guy, and I'm obviously going to be excited about I'm going to be excited about the if there is a quarterback change, I'm going to be very, you know, supportive. I'm going to be behind it. But there are – let's talk about – let's just be real. There are some negatives to it, and let's talk about them, okay? So to start off with, I worry about the signal it would send to any of your older leadership. This is their – some of these guys, this is their last ride. And are you telling them basically, you know, if you look at Peyton's stat sheet, if you look at his just the box score, it's not bad. He's completing over 60% of his passes. He's throwing for over 200 yards a game. He's almost gotten to the point where he's at 2-1 on touchdown to interception ratio. He's really cleaned up the interception. So he's playing decent football. So what does that say? What does that say to some of your guys that are older? Hey, if we get down, they'll just throw us away. Like, we're expendable. They'll just throw us away and then they'll move on from us. I do kind of worry about, you know, this Louisiana Monroe game is winnable. I know it's crazy to think, even look at it with a 3-6 record, but I think the last two games are not out of reach. If you can get back to any kind of, just because of how good your defense is, and if you can find any kind of offense, I think those games are winnable. So what kind of message does this send? I worry about that. I worry about, you know, the team is already sort of on a, could be perceived to be on sort of a tipping point. What message does it send to say, hey, he's playing decent football, but, you know, at this point in the season, nothing matters anymore. So we're sorry about your career. We're sorry about, you know, this. We're sorry about that. We're going to move on. I don't know. Sometimes I worry about the signal that sends. I worry about the signal that sends to future portal quarterbacks. Hey, if you're only got 1 year left and things go south, they'll just replace you. They'll just say, chalk it up to build for the future. They'll quote unquote throw you under the bus and they'll move on. I worry about the message it may send to, you know, to future quarterbacks in general. Hey, if you're the older guy and you struggle, they'll just, even if not even really struggle, if you're just playing, you know, decent football and they're not winning, they'll just replace you. They'll just move on to the next guy. So messaging in general is something that I'm concerned about. It's a legitimate concern. I think it's something that's worth discussing. Lack of mobility. And Hank, I think you go with Hank. If you make a change, you go with Hank, not Walker. Walker is mobile, but he's also a true freshman who's never played at this level. So you go with Hank, and then the offensive line has a propensity to, you know, give up sacks. And I know some of those are because Peyton may hold the ball a little too long, doesn't make quick decisions, but you do have to worry about the lack of mobility that you get with Hank. Now, on the flip side, Hank may process things a little bit faster. So he may not necessarily need to be as mobile because he makes quicker decisions, if that's the case. And I think there's a little bit to that. I think even he may make the quick wrong decision, but I think he makes decisions just a little bit quicker in general. He doesn't necessarily have to make the perfect play every single play. I think he just tries to make a play every single time, and he kind of processes things a little bit quicker. But, hey, lack of mobility is something of definite concern, especially when you're a little bit vulnerable at offensive line. You struggle at you've been struggling at left tackle, so you had to make a switch. And you know, Dylan Wade's a great player, but he's physically limited. He's not that prototype left tackle size, but he's the best left tackle that we have right now. So lack of mobility is something that I worry about. The thought of preparing for the future is out there a lot. But the negative to that is I'm not sure that the answer for 2025 is either one of the guys, either one of the quarterbacks on the roster, either of the three that are on the roster. So if you're preparing for the future, but more than likely none of these, and you're preparing for 2025, more than likely your answer is not on the roster, are you really benefiting any? Are you really benefiting anything by preparing for the future if neither one of these guys are probably going to be in the immediate plan? Now, both of those guys could be the 2026 guy. Both of these guys could easily take over in 2026, and you'll be ecstatic with either one of them if they've earned it and they're successful. So I don't know. I worry about it's not necessarily a worry, but I do have questions. Hey, do you make this, if you're preparing for the future, what does that look like with guys that more than likely aren't going to be a part of the plan in 2025 as far as starting quarterbacks go? Yeah, they'll be a part of the competition, but do you feel confident they can beat out whoever you bring in? Because it's 99% sure you got to go with the way this season's gone. You can't gamble again. You have to go get a proven commodity out of the portal. And then the last thing that could be considered a negative, I still think these three games are winnable. Is this a signal that you're not super concerned about trying to win them? You know, a lot of times you make quarterback changes, you make position changes, and you're less concerned about the results and more concerned about just getting people playing time, getting people acclimated. But I think you can win a couple of these games. I think you can maybe win two out of three of these. It's not just out of the realm of possibility that you can win all three just because of how good you play on defense. So I'm wondering the message that it sends from the standpoint of, hey, you know, we're not going to go in and they don't really feel like we can win these games, so we're just going to switch because we're switching quarterbacks. We're making personnel changes because they don't feel like we can win these games. So those are some very real negatives that I think are very fair to discuss. Now, in your mind, the positives may outweigh them, and I'm going to go over my positives in just a second. And the positives may outweigh these, but I think it's a very real conversation to have. I wanted to flip it. I didn't want to go positive, negative. I want to end on a positive note. So, but before we do that, we got to give a shout out to our boy Ford Stokes with Active Wealth Management. No matter what you're doing from a retirement standpoint, from a savings standpoint, you never know until you know. You never know for sure until you know. And let Ford Stokes be that guy to give you that portfolio analysis. Let's lay it all out on the line. Let's lay it all out. Let's make sure that we're doing the things that we need to be doing to get where we need to be. Go to retirementresults.com/plan. Make sure you're not paying senseless fees. Make sure you've done everything to protect yourself from the IRS. Make sure you're taking advantage of products that you need to be taking advantage of. Ford has access to things that not a lot of people have because of, you know, how highly qualified and all the different licenses and things that he has. You need to check him out. Ford Stokes, tell him where you go. Tell him we sent you. It's Ford Stokes with Active Wealth Management. All right, let's end with some positives, okay? Again, Peyton had no first-team reps last week. Could be some injury. More than likely has a lot to do with injury. But, hey, if you're going to make a change in a bye week before you play a little warm-up game before the last two conference games of the year, it seems like if you're going to make a change, this would be a good time to do it. So positives. Hey, this could create a spark. You know, whereas it could send a negative message. It also could do the opposite. It could create a spark. There could be a group of folks that maybe have lost confidence in Peyton Thorne being able to lead. Being able to, you know, win with him at quarterback. So it could create a little bit of a spark, could create some excitement. I do think Peyton is limited right now with his arm strength, even if he is quote unquote healthy. I think his shoulder is pretty banged up. So could it give you some spark from, you know, an explosion standpoint, being able to stretch the field, hit some plays downfield? When's the last time we really hit a downfield shot? It's hard to remember. I guess you got to go all the way back to Missouri, maybe. Cam Coleman, that's probably the deepest I'm really struggling to think of another really explosive play that you've hit. You hit several in the Oklahoma game, and it was just kind of downhill from there. Again, I can't think of one. Could it create a spark there? Could it create some excitement on the team, especially these young guys that are battling so hard? I think maybe it could. Maybe it could create a spark, ignite a little bit of opening up a little bit more options. The play calling has been safe the last several games. You've been playing this ball control, don't turn it over type offense. And I think it's a little bit, honestly, because of I think it's number one, you're trying to get Jarquez a little bit more involved. It's tough when you're not doing what you're doing things outside of the norm. So it makes it for tougher. It makes for way tougher yardage. I know people think, oh, you just pound the rock. Well, guys, they've been trying to do that for the past 4 weeks. Okay. I know that hasn't necessarily equated into a high carry total, but they have been trying. They've been going to this just pound the ball mindset, and it's not really working that much. It's not really where it worked against Kentucky. Kentucky just quit basically. And Auburn had a lot to do with that, but you're this ultra conservative, protect the ball because we don't want to turn it over and we can't really throw the ball deep. I'm wondering if a quarterback change opens things up a little bit more. Yes, they could turn it over. And the more and more I think about it, I'm wondering if health has a lot to do with it. Peyton's health has a lot to do with, you know, the going conservative, as conservative as they've gone. The play calling is predictable. It's easy to defend. Clearly, I mean, Vanderbilt could put a ton of people in the box, and we couldn't really do anything because we couldn't really stretch the field. You hear a lot about Hugh talking about running the things that Peyton is comfortable with. Are there more things that Hank's comfortable with? Now, Hank may not execute them all the time perfectly, but are there more things that you can put on Hank's plate just to give you some more options to create a spark, to create some explosion? I'm not 100% sure, but I think those are fair points. It could create a spark. It could open up the playbook a little bit more. You could go vertical a little bit more. Hank throws a really good deep ball. Could that be something that you look at as a possible positive? I think so. I think it's a big one too, because I've been saying over the last couple of weeks that it feels like we're calling a shell of the actual offense. And if you're wanting to have any chance on offense, you got to just kind of throw reckless abandon. You got to throw everything out and stop worrying about turning the ball over and just go and live and die by turnovers. If you turn it over, it just sort of is what it is. That's the identity of this offense, and that's the way this offense can move. The only way this offense can really move the ball is to be explosive. That's how Jarquez was running 6 and 7 yards a carry when they were worried that, you know, we were going to go deep to Keandre Lambert-Smith or Cam Coleman or Malcolm Simmons. Like, all this underneath stuff is just putting so many bodies in the close to the line of scrimmage. It makes it tougher to block in general with an offensive line that's struggling. So I think it could create a spark, and it could open up the playbook a little bit, definitely. By making a change. Walker's got a live arm. Hank's got a live arm. I think both of them are healthy, so I think it could definitely help. If you're going to make a change going into Texas A&M, going into Alabama, this will be the week to do it, because, again, it's you got that warm-up game. Now, we saw it earlier in the year where you had the warm-up game, and then you go into Arkansas and you have three just – horrid interceptions to start the game. The first half, the three interceptions are just what are you looking at type stuff. Now, one of them was just a bad throw that ended up in an interception, but the first interception, what are you looking at? The second center interception, what are you looking at? We're not talking about tip passes. We're not talking about wide receivers going off wide receivers' hands. We're not talking about getting hit when you're thrown. We're talking about just really, really poor decision making. But does this, so again, we saw that before and that's what it yielded, but we're this much further into the season. Again, a little bit of a warm-up game. ULM's a little bit tougher competition than what New Mexico would be. So can it just kind of prime you a little bit to get ready for another home game? And I know you get both of them at home again too. So that's it's kind of a similar situation to earlier in the year. But if you're going to make a change, you definitely do it now and not Texas A&M, because that would just be – you're just asking for disaster to just throw a new quarterback, a young quarterback out there against probably one of the more talented defensive fronts or defensive – yeah, the defensive fronts in general in the SEC. I think one of the big things is it lets you know where you stand at quarterback. I think it'll let you know big time where you stand at quarterback. And what do I mean by that? You're going to have to go get a quarterback for as a you're going to have to go get a one-year guy, at least a one-year guy to go for 2025. Okay. But is that all you need to go get? Can these guys be a part of the future? Can these guys be a part of 2026 and beyond? Are the guys you have, like, can you find something that you feel like you feel confident in that you can work with? Or do you go kind of blind into the next season when you could have maybe gotten two quarterbacks out of the portal, an older guy and then a younger guy that's maybe super talented but hasn't had a chance to play yet? And again, everybody throws out the name like Air Noland, somebody like that you had connections with that probably wanted to come to Auburn, but ended up, obviously through the coaching changes and all that stuff, it didn't work out. Could you possibly bring in somebody like, could you see the need to have to bring in somebody like that? Or do they silence that need? Do they shut that need down because you got to see them in game action? I think you learn a lot more. You get a lot of answers. So it's not necessarily preparing for 2025, but it'll give you a little bit more answers on what happens beyond there. And there'll be probably some young guys that you could get your hands on in the portal if need be. And with Will Redmond and co in the fold now, I feel like that's even more of a real possibility if you need to. But they could totally go out there and silence everything, and you don't necessarily need to do that. But hey, that's the positive of doing it now. You get a lot of answers on the future. I think not necessarily 2025, but you get a ton of answers moving forward by going ahead and putting them out there, good or bad. I think that there's no more redshirt issues, so Walker could get some playing time. You don't have to worry about burning that. So that's another positive. Like, there's no worries about, are we going to screw up somebody's eligibility? There's only three games left. Walker hasn't played yet, so there's nothing you have to worry about there. You could, if by chance you get to a bowl game, you run the table, you get to a bowl game, that's four games. Walker could still play in the bowl game as well. So there's really there's nothing you can worry about from an eligibility standpoint. And then the last point, and this may be the least important, I think, because I don't think the way that we feel about things right now matters. I think they're committed to at least three to four years of committing to this thing and rebuilding. But I think it will go a long way with fans to be a little bit more forgiving, a little bit more understanding of the situation. I think fans are much more willing to lose with a Walker White or a Hank Brown right now than they are with continuing to, possibly lose with Peyton Thorne. Now, whether that's right or wrong, it's the truth. I think people would be much more understanding and much more willing to, cool the jets a little bit. Now, some won't. Some that are locked in with get rid of Hugh, they're not going to change. And unfortunately, in today's world, it doesn't matter if he turns around and is successful, because people buy into their own narratives more than they buy into just what's best for Auburn. So, but yeah, I think it would definitely ease some of the fire from the fans. I don't know how important that is. But I definitely think it would. If you made a quarterback change, I think it would definitely ease a little bit of the tension from the fan base. I have no idea what they're going to do. If I had to guess right now, and again, please don't hold this against me. This is no intel. This is just guessing. If I had to guess right now, I think they make a change. I think Hank probably starts from here on out. But again, I could be wrong. We'll see what happens. But I do know that, again, Peyton didn't practice last week. There's a very good argument on both sides to me. I think you got a little bit more positives than you do negatives. But I do understand the negatives if you decide to stick with Thorne. So we'll see what happens. It's a big week, I think, for the future. It's less big for Auburn now, and it's more about Hugh and his career here at Auburn moving forward. I think this is a big week for him to go ahead and put a convincing win. I think Auburn opened as like a 24-point favorite, which is crazy, especially with the offensive outputs that you've seen. But I know ULM struggled the last two or three games, and Auburn should be able to do that. Auburn should be able to put them away like that. Even if your roster's young, you're talented, you should be able to do it. So it'd be great to be able to build some kind of momentum heading into the end of the year and heading into the offseason, heading into the portal season. This is a big, big start, and hopefully they got everything under control and everything sort of pointing in the right direction in the bye week. But we'll see what happens. Guys, you know we're going to be here every single day this week. We're going to break down the press conference today, Tiger Talk this evening, all kind of stuff. So y'all hang in there, and we're gonna keep getting after it. We got basketball coming up this weekend. Make sure – or this week on Wednesday, so make sure you're watching for those Hoops Pod drops, those drops of those Hoops podcasts with me and Zep Jasper. It's going to be a lot of fun. So, guys, if you like this video, like it. If you like this channel, subscribe to it. Follow me on Twitter, @_Charlie_5. You know we're going to be here every single day. It's another episode of the Top Button Podcast. Stay buttoned.
Thanks for listening, and drive home safely.